Welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you during the COVID-19 crisis. Today, our special guest is author and expert on Middle East prophecy, Joel Richardson. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Maury Crable, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from the Baker family home in the beautiful Ozark Mountains, here's your host, Mondo de la Vega.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Jim Baker Show. We are the Baker family. My name is Mondo, and my beautiful sister, Maricela Woodall, and my other beautiful sister, Lori Crable. And we want to thank you for being with us today. Yes. What an exciting moment we're in right now. And, you know, if it wasn't for your prayers, if it wasn't for you standing with us, we would not be here. We feel like we have a mandate from the Lord to be with you every single day, whether you're watching on the PTL network, whether you're watching on Roku, Apple TV, or on your app on your phone. You can now watch the Jim Baker Show and any of the programs that we offer on the PTL network through the app. But we feel it's very important for this hour that this program today will come into your home and minister to you and challenge you to go back to the Word. Our answers are in the Word of God, and we are in probably one of the most prophetic times in our lifetime. And what a moment to be alive, to be a Christian. Boy, it sure is challenging to be a Christian in this hour. And we know for a fact, as a family, we have felt the pressure. Mm-hmm. We have felt the attacks. We have felt, but in the midst of that, you know what? God brings us to the Scriptures. That's, and I want to encourage you today, before we get into the program, because I was driving here and I was thinking about all the attacks that our ministry, our family has experienced, and what Dad had gone through with the stroke and the pressure, and Mom's situation with but by the way, if you're wondering what Mom and Dad is, with your friend is, Pastor Jim and Lori are, they are resting. They are really, it's a time to rest. And sometimes for a man that is a visionary and a watchman, it's hard for him to rest. But I believe God is using this time to deal with him in a way that prophetically he must continue to hear from the Lord. He's seeing things. He's watching events take place and developing sermons to bring to you. And it's not easy as the way it used to be. It's a little bit harder now that he's gone through the stroke. But you know what? Your friend is fighting. Yes. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for the Word of God. He's fighting to stay alive on the air, and with your support and your prayers. Yes. We're here today. Amen. But it made me think of this scripture for you, for our family. And it's a scripture that I think every single one of us have heard, whether you've been in Sunday school or if you just read in passing in a chart somewhere. It's Psalms 23. And it brought such comfort into my heart, because when you don't know what else to do, you just stand. You just wait for the Lord to remind you. And this is my reminder from God to you, from me, for my dad, for our family, is this word. And I want you to hide it in your heart, because I don't know what you're going through right now. The world's upside down, and our special guest is going to give us his perspective, his opinion, his concern about America and what we're going through today and what we're seeing take place in cities in America. I mean, when you stop and think about what's happening in California, it's devastating. Yes, it's like another sign from God.
Yes, and earth is crying out right now.
Absolutely. And it seems like not only the earth is crying out, we are crying for God.
Yes.
And sometimes the simple things in life is what brings the perspective back. Just like this scripture. I know if you read this before. Let's read it together. Psalms 23. This is going to encourage you. I know it encouraged me this morning on my drive here. And it says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That right there gives you peace already. Even though, this is for you, this is where it grabbed me. This is where at the beginning of this year, not only it felt, but we were going through this moment. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. If I had time, I will break this down in the Hebrew and let you know that there's more to that scripture than just those nice words. There's something about the anointing. There's something happens with the anointing that comes over your life that changes the trajectory of your circumstance. Makes me think of one of my mentors, one of Dad's inspiration in prison, R.T. Kendall. He used to say, don't let your circumstances change the faith in your life. Instead, let your faith change the circumstances of your life. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I love this one portion right here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
That scripture is for you today. So whatever you're going through, go back to the word and realize and know one thing in your heart, that though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear any evil. And we are going through some of the most difficult times in America. And this program right here, Maricela, you signed the contract at the beginning of this year.
Yes.
And let's remind the people what God spoke to you about, that this year's not over yet, that I'm still going to keep my promise about the PTL network.
Yes, amen.
What did God speak to you? Because it's so amazing that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of attacks, God says, I'm still going to keep my promise.
Yeah, you know, and I really believe, you know, as you guys have walked through, you know, really the trials, the testing, the tribulations. You've watched, you know, Jim and Lori Baker and our family, and we have waved through every circumstance that we've been hit with. But I just have to tell you, you know, when you have government agencies, government officials, you know, that you're battling with in the courts, there was a moment in time where I just, you know, it was hard for me to keep the faith. And I started to feel like I began to cry out to God because I said, God, my faith is weakening right now in this moment because I cannot see beyond the core. I can't see beyond what is taking place and how at the beginning of this year, when we literally celebrated Pastor Jim's 80th birthday, there was so much excitement in the air. We were so excited for what God was going to do in this ministry, that this would be the year that the voice of the prophets would be launched. And I remember months later, I'm sitting there and I'm truly crying out to God, just asking him, Lord, give me a sign, show me something, Lord, teach me, show me whatever it is that you're trying to teach us through this difficult time. And in that moment, I remember feeling like, I don't want to look to the future, God. I don't know what the future holds, but the Lord reminded me. He said, listen, Marisol, what I have called forth will go forth. What I have mandated to go forth and for you to do, you will accomplish it. And in that moment, the Lord said, don't stop on what I've called you guys to do. I don't want you to look to your right. Don't look to your left. I want you to look at me. I want you to follow me. I want you to trust me and know that I am God and I have placed my hand on this ministry. And truly in that moment, I got my team together and I rallied the troops. I really felt the Lord's like, rally the troops of God. And I brought the team that helps this ministry on the daily basis. And I just spoke to them and I said, here's the deal. I said, we will not give up this fight. When all hell seems to be breaking loose, when you seem like you're being trampled on, your dreams, the passion of the future seems to be lost. You cannot see it in sight. We will stand and we will continue to fight for what is rightfully ours. And we will continue to stand in the position that the Lord has given us. And that's what we've done, Mondo.
Yes.
And because of that, you know, we sit here today literally announcing that we have launched the PTL Television Network. Many of you are watching for the very first time.
Wow,
you're tuning
I got to applaud.
Yes.
Listen, you have to applaud on every victory.
That's
sure,
right.
You want a morning
These
cry.
These are the victories. Yes.
But the victory, you can't. You know, listen, don't ignore the victories.
That's right.
And the most unbelievable thing is that God never changes his words.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever,
Amen.
He says. Everything will pass away except his word,
Amen.
His promises.
Yes.
And right now, you're watching us in Washington, D.C. via Verizon provider company, or you're watching us through Comcast provided company in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Maybe you're watching us in Little Rock. It's a miracle that we're sitting right here and we're going into your home. Maybe you're watching us on your phone. But listen, when you have a miracle and we're broadcasting all the way from the Ozark Mountains and people in Miami, Florida are watching us through Hotwire Provider Company, or if you're watching in Atlanta, Georgia through the Hotwire Company, Baltimore, Maryland through the Verizon Channel, Channel 795, or Boston, Massachusetts. Who would ever think that this network would be reaching Boston through the Verizon Channel 795, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, people. I've had calls already, people watching the PTL Network, the Jim Baker Show. And listen, it's because of you.
Amen.
Because of your prayers. But more than that, your financial support. I don't understand why people always want to skip that part. Without finances, we can't preach the gospel.
Right.
Without finances, without your support, we wouldn't be able to live this miracle that we're in right now.
Amen.
And when Dad felt the urge and the call of God in 1998, when Mom and him were making the bed, they felt the call of God once again to build a platform for the voice of the prophets, a platform that provide a voice for men and women to deliver a message from God to you about the future times and the times that we're in right now, about the book of Revelation, about things that are taking place that will be difficult to understand. In 1998, we never would have thought that we would be in 2020 living a time of pressure, a time of where political chaos is taking place. The war on words is happening right before our eyes. And in the midst of that is a convergence of events taking place all at once. Earthquakes taking place in different places. Fires are burning the west coast of California. It almost looks apocalyptic on what's happening in San Francisco, what's happening in Seattle and Washington area and California. And people are wondering, what does God have to say about those events taking place? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You tuned in to the PTL Network, the voice of the prophets, where we gather some of the greatest voices that we have trusted to come into your home so you can watch and stay up to date on what is happening in the Middle East, what is happening with Israel. And today we have one of those voices that is speaking for this hour, for you, for this generation, and someone that is bold, someone that is not afraid to speak his mind about what God is sharing with him. And this man has really taken a step beyond expectations, because I don't think our special guest today would have ever thought that God was going to use him more than ever for this hour to help us understand the mysteries of the Bible. And what a mystery it is in the Bible that God will reveal his message to his prophets, to his friends, to share with you, to share with us. And our special guest today, Joel Richardson, is a New York Times bestselling author, a filmmaker, and a teacher. He travels globally teaching on subjects such as the gospel, living with biblical hope, and the return of Jesus. We need more teachers like Joel. He's the author, editor, director, and producer of several books and documentaries, including his newest book that we're going to talk about today. You're not going to want to miss today's program. This book, Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus. He is the host of the popular Christian program, The Underground, which, by the way, you can watch it. You can see it on demand, on the app. So please help us welcome our special guest today, Joel Richardson, all the way from his bunker.
Hey, guys, it's great to be with you. It's been a while. It's been a crazy year, but it's a real blessing to be with you all. And I just want to say that my prayers have been with you all, with Pastor Jim and Lori, over these past few months. So it's I consider it an honor and privilege to be able to stand with you guys during the season.
We really appreciate it.
We love you, Joel. We admire you. We pray for you. And, you know, before we get into your book, what do you think is happening in America right now? What is going on in America? I mean, we're seeing a convergence of events taking place like never before. We're watching political turmoil. We're watching almost apocalyptic events taking place weather-wise. And then in the midst of that, we're watching civil unrest taking place in some of the most unbelievable cities in America. What do you think is going on?
You know, obviously, there's a lot going on And I actually did an underground program on this, I'm going to say a little over a year ago. And the title of that was Civil War in America with a question mark. And, you know, obviously we can talk about coronavirus, that's global. But the issue I think right now that's taking place is, and I'm just going to call it the work of Satan. When you look at the Olivet Discourse, Jesus' sermon on the last days, just before he goes to the cross, his disciples ask him, what are the signs of the end of the age? And he lays out a whole bunch of things. You know, he talks about the classic signs of the end times that you think of, earthquakes, famines, plagues, pestilences, these type of things. But then he says, you'll hear of a kingdom rising up against kingdom and nation against nation. So usually in the English, we look at that and we think, well, this is talking about wars and rumors of wars. And he certainly was talking about those things. But when you look at the Greek word there, nation, the word is ethnos. It's ethnos against ethnos. And as you all know, I've been working in the Middle East for the past few decades, really. But we've been involved in Syria. And, you know, I've personally watched since 2011 with the revolution in really the civil war that broke out in Syria. You think about this. Think of these parallels. What started out as protests in the south by some of the Sunni minorities that felt as though they were being oppressed, they began protesting. It led to riots. It eventually spread all across the country. It eventually led not just to riots, but to full-blown civil war. And eventually, what you would say was a full-blown war. I mean, you had foreign troops in Syria from China to Russia to Pakistan to Israel to the United States, Germany, France, Turkey. I mean, you name it. All of the powerful nations in the earth were there with their militaries. And when all was said and done, we've had arguably over 1 million people dead. We've had internally millions of people that have had to move from one city to the other. And then fleeing country, we've actually had millions of refugees. And what happens in situations like this is here in the United States, you say, well, that happens over there. You know, these are the Muslims, you know, Middle Eastern, the Arabs, you know, they're crazy type thing. Like that could never happen here. And so I've been warning for years saying, listen, this, Jesus made it very clear that this is part of Satan's plan for the last days, is to divide in increasingly hostile categories and units. Everything that can be divided, Satan will divide it. And right now in the United States, politically, racially, religiously, socioeconomically, you name it, Satan is doing his best to divide us in every which way that he can. And unfortunately, most of the country is falling for Satan's trap. We're called to be aware of the wiles of the schemes of Satan. And we're allowing ourselves to primarily be defined by political parties, by races, by this, by that. And Satan is winning right now in the United States. And so there's no question, yes, we have to pray for revival, but it's not just revival. I mean, we need a genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need discernment as the church, and we need to be praying. We need to be praying that we could get through this. And I'll just say this, you know, we're in election season, and that amplifies everything. There's no politician that is going to save us. There is no politician that can fix this. There's no political victory that can change these things. We need to be turning to the Lord wholeheartedly for our nation. Because really, I mean, what we've seen right now looks horrible, but the potential for it to get a lot worse has been demonstrated throughout the earth and throughout history. And if we think it can't happen here, we're absolutely delusional.
Wow. You know, your voice, what you just said is so important, and I hope you're listening to this. The Bible talks about there will be a time where deception will be great in the hour that we may be in right now. Therefore, as the church, we have to understand that our answer, our voice comes from the Word of God, is being able to come back. If my people pray, listen, God is talking to his church first. If you don't understand what's happening right now in the world, all you have to do is go back to Matthew 24 and understand one of the most important chats, one of the most important questions and answers that were asked in this word was when the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the signs of your return? And listen, if the king is coming back, this needs to happen. But it's the greatest hour for the church, for the return of Christ. And later on this program, we're going to show you why this could be the greatest hour of the church. Why is the book of Revelation so important to understand and to open it up and begin to understand that this could be, I love what you said the other day, this could possibly be the greatest love story ever written to the church. Why? Because we have to celebrate the return of Christ and celebrate the events in the midst of this pressure that we're in the midst of chaos. Sure, we're going to have to fight for the religious freedom rights that we're facing right now. And we have to get out and vote. We have to put our trust in God. We have to put our trust in the word of God, not on man. If God chose this man to be in office right now, we must pray for him. We must pray for every leader. We must pray for, even if it's hard to accept some of his tweets, even if it's hard to accept some of his behavior. But what if God chose this man for this hour? What if God is speaking through events that are taking place in America right now for us to turn around and repent and understand, to turn back from our evil ways and be able to pay attention that without God, we can't make it? We in America are facing a difficult time right now. And if we don't get out and participate in our, you know, earthly duty to get out and vote, the election can shift one way or it can shift in a different way. But for us Christians, we have to get out there and be part of what we believe in. Vote your faith is what we've been asking people to order, you know, the buttons to be able to just, you know, initiate people to get out and vote. What was the numbers? Because, Joe, you got to understand, Joe, if the Christians are going to have a voice in this fight, is it our duty to get out and vote, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, look, I view it as an issue of simple stewardship. We're called to steward responsibly everything that's been given to us, and the right to vote in a democracy, that's a gift, and we need to steward it properly. No question about it. Now, that said, you know, the Bible, the New Testament, is a book written by those who are persecuted, to those who are persecuted. It's a book for the persecuted, by the persecuted, and Christians throughout history have been persecuted. And we're feeling it. We're beginning to feel it. But our brothers and sisters, you know, throughout the Middle East, Nigeria, Northern Africa, and a lot of different places are they're experiencing legitimate persecution. And so we're feeling it right now. We understand what it's like to be challenged, to be sued, to be silenced. I will say this on your behalf. You know, you have the online network, you have the app now. I would encourage your audience, sign up for the app, because when various platforms shut down Christian outlets, which they will, that app is something that all of your content will be uploaded to, and they can't shut that down. And so it's good to have redundancies and backups and this type of thing. But listen, absolutely, and let me be very clear. I am very conservative politically, morally, theologically, you name it. And as such, I always vote conservative. That said, going back to what I was talking about earlier, it's also very important that we don't just simply steward our votes responsibly. We steward the things that we say on social media responsibly. And we recognize that despite our variety of political opinion, we are first and foremost Christians. And we need to be very careful in terms of how we approach political discourse, because oftentimes we do. We hurt other people. We hurt our fellow brothers and sisters within the body of Christ by just sort of spewing our opinions online and this type of thing. And we need to be very careful. We need to put people first and then go out and vote, you know, pray, but recognize that people are much more important, even oftentimes, than our own opinions. And for me, this is very important, particularly in light of, as I said, all of the division that the nation is feeling right now.
And listen, if you're watching right now, go and download the app right now on your phone on iOS or Google Play. If you have an Android phone, download it right now. It's so important that you get this message in your hands and stay connected, stay up to date on what's happening. We have people that will interpret the times that we're in right now and help us understand, just like Joe Richardson. The Underground program is one of the key programs on this network to help us understand what is happening in the Middle East. And Joe, let's get right into it. And this question will lead into your book, which, by the way, you can order this book right now by Joe Richardson. He has written some of the classics books. I don't even have time. Maybe on the second show we'll name them. But this brand new book, Sinai to Zion, The Untold Story of the Triumphant Return of Jesus Christ. This book right here will give you an insight to the last days, an insight of how and why this could be one of the greatest events in our life. For a donation of $25 to the ministry, you can give us a call right now, 1-888-988-1588, or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com. You can still write us today at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. You can order one book, or you can get three of this Sinai to Zion offer for a donation of $65 to the ministry. Do it right now as we dive in into this brand new book. But Joe, what do you think will happen as Turkey is flexing its military muscle and tries to form an alliance against Israel?
Yeah, we've talked a lot of Turkey on the show over the years. And in my first book, Islamic Antichrist, which was written originally back in 2004. I predicted exactly what we are seeing right now, I mean precisely, which was the Islamification, radicalization, and the emergence of Turkey as a regional power. And who would have thought even just 10 years ago, think about this, Turkey just converted the Hagia Sophia. This is once was the largest church in the world, and it's been a museum for, the past 80 plus years. They converted it into a mosque. This is a deliberate cultural statement that Turkey is trying to present itself as the leader of the more radical Muslims throughout the earth. Well, in the midst of all of this, just the other day, we saw a sermon given in the main mosque in Mecca. And the imam there was talking about the good relationships that Muhammad and Muslims down through history have had with the Jews. So we see many nations that are actually moderating, and they're leaning more toward being friendly with Israel. We see the UAE Alliance Peace Agreement with Israel. So we see in some nations, we see just the opposite happening. But in Turkey, we see Turkey aligning with more radicals throughout the region, with Hamas, with the radical Palestinians from Gaza, with nations such as Qatar and some of the other Turkic Central Asian nations. So we see, in my opinion, the early stages of the rise, quite frankly, of the coming Antichrist coalition, which Daniel 11 refers to as the King of the North. The Antichrist is called the King of the North. And then we also see the emerging King of the South coalition of nations. We see nations like the UAE, even Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, other nations that are not Muslim, such as Greece and Armenia, that will be more aligned with the United States and Israel. So in so many ways, we really do see the specific aligning of the nations, the contours of the geopolitical landscape falling into line with that which the prophets described in very specific detail, in ways that you could not predict things this specific thousands of years ahead of time. It's falling into alignment in a profound way in our day. So absolutely huge things happening in the Middle East right now.
You know, in 1999, our father gave a prophetic word in Moravian Falls with Rick Joyner, and he mentioned some key nations to watch for. He said, watch Russia, watch Korea, watch China, watch the Middle East. But specifically, he said, watch Turkey. There's something mysterious about Turkey, Joe. What is it about turkey that most Americans are being deceived by?
Well, again, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, as you listen to commentators and analysts, the overwhelming consensus was that Turkey was turning toward the West. It was an Islamic democratic model government, and we wanted to, in terms of American foreign policy, that's the nation and the model that we wanted to replicate throughout the Middle East. And in fact, this was actually Obama's effort, very failed effort, to see the Turkish model replicated utilizing the Muslim Brotherhood. He thought they would follow that pattern. But instead, the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, the prophecy of Gog Magog, it makes it very clear that in the last days, Turkey would emerge as a regional power, and that essentially the former beast empire, this satanic stronghold, this coalition of nations, would be revived. It would come back in the last days, and we would see a multinational coalition or an empire, an alliance, a league, whatever you want to refer to it. They would come together, and it would create one of the greatest military threats that the world has ever faced. And we say, well, certainly Turkey is not as powerful as the United States or Russia. But what we don't realize is that Turkey does have a very powerful military, easily as powerful as Israel's, for example. But when Turkey allies and combines their powers with Iran, with the Central Asian nations, with Qatar, and after they even conquer other Islamic nations, that all of these together with their nuclear weapons, with all of their capabilities, it will be this entity that the Bible says the peoples of the earth will say, who can make war with the beast? You know, who can stand against this this thing that we've never seen before? And so in many ways, the nationalism, the Turkish nationalism, the Islamism, it is emerging right before our eyes. And it's not, you know, years ago, the left-wing media, they mocked me. They mocked others that were saying these things. They mocked Jim Baker. I was a guest on the Glenn Beck show. They loved to attack him. And they said, you know, this is all just evangelical fanaticism and fear-mongering. Well, the things that I was saying 10 years ago are now mainstream in the media. It's no longer fantasy. It is happening right in front of us. When you listen to the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, it sounds like something out of a Christian end time fictional thriller. As he's speaking of going to war with the various surrounding nations, he's invading Iraq, he's invading Syria, he's threatening Greece, he's threatening Armenia, he's threatening the United States, and he's quoting the Quran, he's quoting Islamic scripture, and he's whistling to the Islamists throughout the region. And it really is something that our politicians and the church need to be very well aware of.
This is so important as you watch today, because we have to understand the times that we are living in. And we are bringing, I mean, just to have Joel here explaining to us, what is God trying to reveal to us through his scripture? You know, and Joel, I want to get into your brand new book, Sinai to Zion. And I just have to say, what an amazing, deep revelation that the Lord has literally downloaded to you, has given you. I have to just say quickly, I was so humbled. Even as I just went through the introduction, I could not contain it. I couldn't handle really what the Lord was even revealing to me. And it humbled me to read what God is trying to share with you, the believers, his children. And before I want you to lay the foundation for us today, Joel, but before, I just want to read one quick thing from the introduction of your book. This is what you say. If the biblical prophets, John the Baptist, Jesus, and the apostles, and the early church all proclaim the coming of our Lord, then so must the modern church return to doing so just as vigorously. I am convinced that if the church will prioritize meditating, teaching, and emphasizing the hope of Jesus's return, we will reap tremendous good fruit.
Amen.
And as I got through the introduction for myself, I just sat there and I just meditated upon the Lord. And I said, God, will you show us, prepare our hearts for this great moment. Prepare the church to understand that we are living in the greatest moment of history, and we get to be a part of it.
Amen.
So, Joel, I'd like for you to take this time. Can you explain how your new book, Sinai to Zion, explores the connection between the Exodus and Jesus's return?
Yeah, thank you so much, Maricela. So I've been on a 3-year journey, and I know some of those who follow my ministry, I haven't been super out there publicly the past 3 years. I mean, a bit, but I've been on the most mind-blowing journey that all began with me going to Saudi Arabia and visiting Jebel Allah, a mountain that I am wholeheartedly convinced is the real Mount Sinai. Very controversial, but in the midst of studying this, the Lord had me parked in the Exodus for well over a year. And I've been in the midst of, as you said, just this download of revelation that's unlike anything I've experienced. And I say this not with no hype at all, but I am absolutely convinced that Sinai to Zion is the most important and profound book that I've ever written and may ever write, quite frankly. And it is a heavy book. It's a content-rich book. But essentially, let me just begin by beginning with the introduction and get into it more. But really at the center of it all is this cry that I have for the church to recover, the Maranatha cry of the early church. And what do I mean by that? Well, the church today, we have the hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. We have the hallelujah down really well. You know, we're great at praise and worship and this type of thing. But the other cry of the early church was not just hallelujah, it was also Maranatha. And that essentially means come, Lord Jesus. It was really kind of a liturgical statement. It means he has come, but he is coming again. And it was a cry. Come, Lord Jesus. And to me, the Maranatha cry, it's the critical missing component throughout so much of the modern church today. We've lost the Maranatha cry of the early church. And to me, this is central. This is at the very heart of the Christian life, the Christian walk, at the heart of the gospel, is this understanding that revival, that political victories, that any of these things in this life, none of these things will satisfy us. That the only thing that the ultimate thing that we're crying out for, the only thing that will really satisfy our deepest yearnings and prayers is the return of Jesus, the establishment of his kingdom here on the earth. And until we as Christians and we as a church recover the centrality of this, we won't be able to navigate the storms that are already swirling all around us, that is the anchor of hope that's going to get us through the storms ahead. And so I really believe this book it's an important critical deposit to help the church recover the Maranatha cry.
Wow. R.T. Kendall, best-selling author and teacher, says this about your book, and I quote, Joel Richardson has written a truly unique book about the return of Jesus. This study should be carefully considered by every serious student of the scriptures. He deals with many overlooked details concerning the return of Jesus found throughout both the Old and New Testament. End of quote. That is R.T. Kendall. Order this book right now. As we get into more on what's inside of this book, call 1-888-988-1588. Get your book right now. Sinai to Zion offer. Shipping and handling is included in this offer. Better yet, get three of the books. These three books are going to really give you an evangelistic tool to share with your family and your friends to help us understand how the Old Testament has a technicolor on the details of Jesus and the return that will take place. For a donation of $65 to the ministry, you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com, or you can still write us today at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Again, or you can call 1-888-988-1588. Joel, what are the desert prophecies that you talk about in your book?
So this is the capstone of the book. Okay, so essentially, the book is broken up into three different parts. I begin with the covenant at Sinai in the first part. In the middle, I deal with a lot of the things that will unfold in the last days with regard to the restoration and the salvation of all of Israel. But part three is where I dig into the desert prophecies. Okay, so the desert prophecies are what I will say some often overlooked, almost universally overlooked prophecies in the Old Testament. And these are actually the very foundation. These are the first prophecies in the Bible upon which the picture, the vision, the story of the return of Jesus, as it is described in the New Testament, are built upon. Okay, so the first of these is Deuteronomy 33. This is a prophecy called the Blessing of Moses. And this is, hands down, the foundation prophecy for the return of Jesus in all of the Bible. And overwhelmingly, what's so fascinating is that when you read commentaries, when you read what the scholars say, they miss the fact that it's talking about the return of Jesus because they assume it's actually talking about the Exodus. And so this is the point, is what I show in the book is that the return of Jesus is framed, it's patterned after the biblical Exodus. That the Bible casts the return of Jesus not just as a very simple event. He comes forth from the sky and the clouds and it's all over. No, the return of Jesus is the second Exodus. It's the greater Exodus. It's the final Exodus. It's the ultimate Exodus. And by understanding, by gaining this key, we unlock what is unarguably the single greatest key into the mysteries of understanding the return of Jesus, as you said, Mondo, in all of its glorious technicolor detail. And these are passages that are found throughout the Old Testament, some of the longest detailed prophecies in the whole Bible, and they are truly beautiful and glorious.
Beautiful. And Joe, I love how you, in your book, you pose this as the most beautiful love story. So can you tell us how this is the ultimate romance between God and Israel?
Yeah, so let's just begin in part one. Okay, so as Christians, we look at some of the covenants in the Old Testament. We think of the Abrahamic covenant. As those Christians that are pro-Israel, which I am, you know, we love to quote Genesis 12, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you and this type of thing. We love the Noahic covenant. The Lord put his rainbow in the clouds. He promised never to destroy the earth again with a flood and this type of thing. But we often look to the Mosaic or the Sinaitic covenant, the covenant that God made with Israel. And we often look at it negatively. We say, well, that's the old covenant. The new covenant is better than the old covenant, which of course it is. But what we don't understand is that the way the Lord has framed the Sinaitic covenant, and not just the Sinaitic covenant, but the whole Exodus itself, is specifically as a betrothal ceremony. It is a marriage covenant between God and Israel. And if we don't understand this, if we don't understand this basic principle, we will not understand the return of Jesus. We will not understand the Torah. We will not understand its role in the life of Israel and in the life of believers. We won't understand the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so this really is the foundation. And so in the first part of the book, I essentially show that the Exodus is a divine romance. And I work through all of the symbols and the motifs. Now, listen, the Jews are well aware of this. You know, Jewish commentators, rabbis, sages, they are very familiar with this, that the Exodus is God's romance, and it leads to and culminates with his betrothal or marriage ceremony with Israel at Mount Sinai. But most Christians, we don't realize this. And so there's so many elements there, but just as an example, Torah itself, from a Jewish or a Hebrew perspective, Torah is the ketubah. And the ketubah is the legal arrangement, the legal document, the agreement, the covenant between the bride and the bridegroom. So in modern times, we simply refer to this as the marriage vows, the wedding vows. But of course, these are very extensive. It took them days just to read the whole Torah. And this really is the legal agreement. But now you think about this, you know, in modern terms, you wouldn't say like, oh, you know, honey, this is such a burden, keeping these marriage vows, keeping all of these wedding vows. It's such a burden. You know, I'm free of these things. And yet this is the way that Christians often do speak of Torah. We think of it purely in negative terms, purely as a burden, purely as a curse and these type of things. But we have to understand that these are the marriage vows, again, made between God and Israel. I don't personally believe that Gentiles are obligated to keep every component of Torah. I want to be very clear. But we need to understand it through the lens of the beauty that it's presented in Scripture. And it's not just a curse. It's not just a burden. It's actually presented as the marriage vows. And as that such, it's important that we recover much of the beauty of these things. But there's so much more there. There are so many more elements that show and reveal the fact that this was, in fact, a romance. It was a courting process that led to a wedding ceremony. And it will ultimately lead to the ultimate marriage supper of the Lamb, the renewal of this covenant, to the final culmination and establishment of this covenant with God and his bride once and for all. But not at Mount Sinai, but rather it will culminate at Mount Zion. And this is, again, the return of Jesus, the culmination of the whole glorious story.
Wow. Unbelievable. This is powerful teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as you're watching right now, I want to go back to Genesis. I want to go back to Exodus and find out how is it happening? Where did we miss it as the church? Where did we miss? You know where I think we missed it? Is that we have allowed other people to read the Word of God for us.
True.
It's time for us to go back to the Word.
Amen.
It's time for us, now that we have been given this time to be at home, and some of you probably are still in quarantine, and some of you are probably still on lockdown. And while you're on lockdown, instead of complaining, Dad, you say, if you complain, you remain.
Yes.
If you whine, you stay behind. Well, listen, don't be a whiner. Don't be a complainer. Be a reader of the Word of God. Use this time to go back to Genesis and understand where we are. How in the world did God use some magnificent events to point us to the return of Jesus Christ?
That's right.
From the beginning, God orchestrated throughout his word how the return of Christ was going to play out. You know, God doesn't hide anything from us.
That's right.
If we want to research it, if we want to read his word, you know, we have become spoiled brats. We have allowed other people to teach the word instead of us reading it for ourselves and having that experience. America has been so spoiled by preachers and by television, Christian television, that we've been given so much. But then again, we are experiencing a famine of the Word of God from our pulpits. And today the church are wondering what's happening, when we should have known all along that it's in the Word.
Yeah. That's right.
All these events that are taking place, that have taken place from centuries, have been already predestined and rewritten in the Word of God.
Yeah.
But it was up to us to read it. It was up to us to go back to the Word. You know, Joe, you're going to have to stay for a second show because we got so much to talk about. You're going to talk about in the next hour about the Red Sea and why did the Lord, he gave no other option to escape. I want to know more about the Ten Commandments. I want to know more about this Exodus. And before we end this day one, can you just talk about how Genesis and Exodus is related to one another?
Sure. Well, I mean, in Genesis, the Lord introduces the gospel. He introduces the story of redemption. And so really the foundational text is Genesis 3:15. As soon as the fall happens, the Lord introduces the solution. And he looks at the serpent and he says, from this time forward, there's going to be conflict, enmity. There's going to be war between your children. Now, not Satan's literal children, but his spiritual children, those who follow his ways. And he says, and the children are the descendants of Eve, the righteous children. There's going to be conflict. And this conflict will define all of human history. But it's in this seed prophecy that he basically gives an indication that someone is coming. And he says, and he is going to crush your head, Satan. He says, you will merely bruise his heel. You'll strike his heel, but he is going to crush your head. And so even just in Genesis, the Lord has already introduced the concept of the Messiah, of Jesus, and he's defined, and this is so beautiful, he's defined first and foremost as what? As the crushing one. He is the snake crusher. And he's not just going to crush Satan's skull, he's also going to undo all of the impact, the implications of that deception back in the garden. All of the things that have come as a result of the fall, this skull crusher is going to undo all of those things. So in Revelation, the story of the promised one unfolds. We later learn that he's also going to be the seed of Abraham. The seed of Eve is going to be the seed of Abraham. At the end of Genesis 49, we discover he's actually going to be the seed of Judah. He's going to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. So even just in the first book of Genesis, we already have pretty well framed out vision for who Jesus is, but then it's in Exodus that the Lord takes it to the next step, and that is when he gives this next major deposit, which is the covenant at Mount Sinai. It's through understanding the covenant at Mount Sinai, through understanding the prophecies of Moses, that we understand who this Messiah is, who Jesus is, and specifically what he is going to do when he returns. And so together, Genesis and Exodus form really the foundation of Revelation for understanding the return of Jesus. And just to give a sneak peek, let me just say this. The God who came down on the mountain in blazing fire, who descended on the mountain in a thick cloud with the blasting of trumpets, with a mighty earthquake, with a voice from heaven, he is going to come back in blazing fire, in the thick clouds, with a mighty earthquake, the blasting of trumpets, with the voice of an archangel. And the God who came down on Mount Sinai, the bridegroom God, Yahweh God Almighty, who came down on the mountain, he is soon coming back. And so this does become clearly the pattern for the return of Jesus, and it opens up so, so much.
Yes, amen.
Exciting.
I just want to say, you know, as we wrap up, the show has gone so quickly, but I just want to say, Joel, I fell in love with your book when I read it, and I want to thank you because at the beginning of this show, you said that you have gone through a mind-blowing journey with the Lord, and I just want to tell you that it comes through your book. When I read it, I joined you on that mind-blowing journey. I felt like I was a part of the revelation that the Lord was giving you. And I want to thank you for being obedient, for taking the time to research and to read through what is truly God trying to reveal to his children in these times. You know, this is one of the greatest times for the church. And for us, you know, it's time for us to go to that next level. I know this encouraged me. The first thing that I did was I opened up Genesis and I opened up Exodus, and you led me through the Word of God. You're constantly aiming us and telling us, search it for yourself, read the Word, know the Word, and revealing to us, what is God trying to teach us? But this is powerful. So for those of you who are watching, I just want to tell you, I read a lot of books on this show, and this book has changed the way that I view and I look forward to the return of the Lord. I look forward to it with anticipation in seeing that day where the Lord will come back for his bride. This is an exciting time for you and I to be alive. This is an exciting time for us to know the Word of God, know the God, the awe-inspiring God that you and I get the honor to serve. But I want to encourage you right now, call us at 1-888-988-1588. Go to the website, jimbakershow.com. But today is a day that we get to experience the rich content and the revelation, the deep revelation that the Lord is trying to reveal to you and I to prepare us for his return. And for a donation of $25, you can get one of the books, and that also does include the shipping and handling. Or for a $65 donation, you can receive three of the Sinai to Zion, the untold story of the triumphant return of Jesus. And so we want to encourage you right now to write us, to stand with our ministry. But also, this is a time for you to get that deep content, revelation understand and look forward in the anticipation of what the Lord is revealing to his children.
Absolutely. Join us tomorrow with more with our special guest, yes. Joel Richardson, as he unlocks and reveals yes. to us the Exodus and the magnificent events that took place and how it's relating to the return of Christ. Listen, so much is happening around the world. We want to encourage you today to go to the website, get yes. your Bibles. Listen, that's one right. of the most important gifts we can offer you is a Bible.
Yes. Read, yes.
You know, when you get this book, get a Bible as well right. and give it to someone. The mm-hmm. Word of God is probably one of the greatest gifts that you can share with someone, mm-hmm. along with, you know, Joel's book, and be able to help them understand what the scripture and why we put so much emphasis in the return of Christ, and why Genesis and Exodus has the keys to unlocking the return of the King of Kings.
Amen.
You know, we have an amazing offer on the Restoration Bible for a donation of $40 to the ministry. We want to send you a Bible. This Restoration Bible, it really chronicles the restoration of our father, your friend Jim Baker, on building Morningside. Yes. And it's going to show you pictures of the Grace Chapel, the General Store, yeah. the statue of Jesus, and of course, Grace Street, where we originally filmed the Jim Baker Show, and we have a lot of prophetic conferences. It's going to give you pictures and insights, little stories on Lori's house, and yes. and you know, you can get to see the first baby of Lori's house. And really, this is a restoration of our family, of this ministry, a restoration of you watching and partnering with this ministry. So we want to give you a gift of this beautiful Restoration Bible, and as a free bonus gift, we're going to send you another Bible along the way for a donation of $40 to the ministry. But also, don't forget, we have many, many other offers, including the generator. A lot of you have been asking about the new generator. Well, it's here now. Order it right now. I don't have time on this broadcast to talk about the brand new generator offer. It's unbelievable what's happening in California. Unbelievable what's happening on the other coast with all the hurricanes and the power outages that are taking place. Mm-hmm. All we want you to do is be ready. We have dedicated our lives to this ministry. Our father has literally taken his whole life, practically, when he's, you know, when he got out of prison, to warn the church, to prepare the church for the times that we're in right now. And we want you to be ready. We want you to be ready with the generator, but we also want you to be ready with food. And there's a lot of different offers. Just go online, jimbakershow.com, and find the different offers that we have for you today. We want to thank our special guest yes. today. Stay tuned for the next broadcast. You're not going to want to miss one bit of what God has to say in the book of Exodus. Until next time, just like our father says, God loves you.
He really does.
Bye-bye for today.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.